Alex.
CNN Radio. I'm Andrew Spencer. There's some truth to Afghan President Hamid Karzai's claim this weekend that the United States was involved in peace talks with the Taliban. CNN's Matt Cherry explains.
Robert Gates told CNN's State of the Union there's nothing high level yet.
These contacts are very preliminary at this point.
And he doesn't think real reconciliation talks will make any major headway until at least this winter.
I think that the Taliban have to feel themselves under military pressure.
But news of the talks has done little to stem the attacks in Afghanistan. The Taliban claimed responsibility for a suicide bombing on a NATO convoy Sunday that killed civilians. Matt Cherry, CNN.
Libyan state-run TV blames NATO for a strike that left three people dead in a residential neighborhood. Government spokesman Musa Ibrahim.
We hold Mr. David Cameron. We hold Sarkozy. We hold Obama responsible morally and legally for this murder, for these crimes.
A NATO spokesman says they're investigating and cannot confirm the strike came from NATO. Some think the economy will work against the president as he seeks re-election, but President Barack Obama's chief strategist isn't impressed with the emerging field of Republican presidential candidates.
There seemed to be a unanimity of antipathy toward the president. I'll assert that. I didn't hear a lot of ideas.
David Axelrod on CNN State of the Union. A wildfire covering two counties is now being called the second largest ever in East Texas. The Bering Fire now burning 14,000 acres. Extreme fire conditions have prompted red flag warnings in seven states today. A man makes a Father's Day plea more than 2 weeks after his daughter went missing.
Let your parents know that how much you love them. And the parents out there, make sure that you let your children know how much you love them. Okay.
Indiana University student Lauren Spears, last seen on June 3rd. This is CNN Radio.
Just in time for Father's Day, the Home Depot has made a special buy. A Brinkman 4-burner gas grill is just $169. You save $30, and you give Dad a grill with enough room to cook 32 burgers at once, which is a pretty cool trick. We're lowering the cost of a very happy dad with a Brinkman 4-burner gas grill for just $169. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through June 19th, U.S. only. See store for details.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
McCall from Rochester writes, what's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby is saving people money on their favorite hobbies. I quite enjoy connecting people who'd like to save money insuring their RVs, motorcycles, and ATVs through Geico.
That counts as a hobby? I thought that was your job.
Well, as the saying goes, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life.
Wow. If you're not working, that sure leaves a lot more time for camping and motorcycle riding.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Hey, everybody. Benvenuto amici. We got a big Italian theme today on Foodie and the Beast,
we
and
do.
It's Father's Day. Il giorno de del babbo. I don't know. How do you say it?
Il giorno de del babbo.
Del babbo. Va bene. Allora. And it's my day, so I'm taking over the show.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a snooze. I'm tired.
So, okay. Go ahead. I'll do the whole thing. I got no problem with that. So, seriously, grab a napkin, because if this week's show doesn't make you do a lot of drooling at home, I don't know what will, because we have got an amazing lineup. Leland Morris is in from Red Hook Lobster.
It smells so good in here.
Yeah. And every day they serve up a taste of Maine to hundreds of people out on the streets of Washington. So stick around to hear about how Red Hook's mouthwatering offering is everything, really, from Connecticut-style lobster rolls to whoopie pies and Maine root soda.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm going to take the mic away from you
now. But that's not Italian.
Okay, Right. But we also have Domenica Marchetti. She's in studio with us. You may know her because you see her byline in the Washington Post. But she also just released this beautiful book called The Glorious Pasta of Italy. I've been lucky enough to have some of the dishes with her. And she's brought in some delicious looking pasta today. So we'll be digging into that in just a bit. And also, we have mussels and beer in studio. When you say mussels and beer, you must think of Belgium.
You must be talking about my mussels, baby. Yeah.
Not those mussels. These are a little plumper. They're a little different.
That's not nice. It's Father's Day.
Well, et voilà is here, and they've brought in mussels and beer, and we'll be digging into that in just a bit.
Yeah, and you should see what Claudio Pirollo, has over there.
It's, I know,
unbelievable.
Amazing.
All right, and the 2011 Rammies are coming up next week.
Woohoo!
And we have two nominees for Best Wine Program. And with us today, return guest Dean Gold, owner of Dino in Cleveland Park. And in from Taberna Alla Bardero is their sommelier Gustavo Iniesta.
Did he say it right? Is that the right way to say it?
Yes, okay. You know what? When it first came out and we just heard about it, I used to say Taberna Abracadabra. But I did say it right. We're going to be talking about their exceptional Spanish wine list.
Well, let's get started. Gentlemen, come up to the mic, please. There are a lot of great wine programs in the city and a lot of competition for this Rammy. So what do you guys attribute this nomination? How do you try not to fight? Yeah.
Well,
you got to lift up that mic.
Lift up the
about
mic. There you go.
Okay.
There you
this
go.
This is radio.
There we go.
Yeah. No, the I'm really honored when we've been nominated. This is our third in a row, because our wine program is really weird. It doesn't have any wines that people recognize. We don't really look at scores or famous wines. We want to bring to people the countryside wines of Italy, just like we try and bring the countryside foods of Italy. So we deal with small family-owned wineries. We don't have Tignanello. We don't have Sassicaia. We don't have Gaia on our list. There's a lot of people who say, well, it can't be a good Italian wine list if you don't have those wines.
Mm-hmm.
And then do they know, Dean?
Yeah, and then they drink our Barolos and Barbarescos and Brunellos, and they say, wow, this list is pretty fabulous. So,
excellent.
You know, it's nice to be recognized by your peers.
And Gustavo, you know, it wasn't that long ago that when you talked about great wines, people would say, okay, France, Italy, maybe some wines from Germany, but Spanish wines weren't on everybody's radar. Now, of course, they are in a big way. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think that right now we have a very good position in the States about the Spanish wines, because the people want to quality for low prices, right? And mm-hmm. Spain right now, they are doing that, and we are offering a very good wine list with all those kind of wines, low prices and also high prices.
I'll take the low prices.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know he's notoriously cheap.
Notoriously. But okay, so, and you've got a wine list of, you've got like 300, 400 wines, correct?
Yes, that's right. Wow. Mostly for Spain, like the 96% of the wine list is mm-hmm. from Spain. And a little bit of Napa, Oregon, and Virginia wines, mm-hmm. of course.
Well, we it's good here. To have local. When everybody yeah. trumps local, you should have some Virginia on there.
Sadly.
So you guys are brought in one inexpensive pour and one splurge pour. So what is your, we're going to start with you, Gustavo. What is your inexpensive pour that we're starting with?
Well, actually, I bring both an expensive one.
Okay.
One white and one red.
Even better.
Okay, we can start for the white, of course. It's called Fuente Milano, mm-hmm. 2010. It's 0.5% Viura, another third grape from Spain, the north of Spain.
Can you show the bottle to the camera,
yeah, sure.
please? Great,
and,
thank you.
And 50% Verdejo, oh. and a very well-known grape in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Rueda region in the northwest of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you mind, I will
yes,
pour a
pour
little
ahead.
Bit.
Pour, why, don't pour
why would we mind?
Please.
Why
it's
do you
good.
Think you're here,
right.
my friend?
And what does this bottle go for?
This is cost $9.99. So it's
okay.
just in the limit.
Okay.
So one,
excellent.
Two, three, four.
Excellent,
that's
excellent.
That's my kind
okay,
of wine,
well, pass
baby.
That wine down and let's get started.
All right, so
with
Domenica.
First of all, hi, welcome.
You are easily described as a Renaissance woman. You were a newspaper reporter originally, and then you started. Was it food that you were working
on? No, I was a beat reporter for a long time, a municipal reporter, and then I started writing about health and fitness and nutrition back when I was in Detroit. And And then I also wrote about philanthropy. I wrote about everything except food for quite a while. But then when my children were young, I left my full-time job and decided that I really wanted to write about food because I'd come home from work and I'd just start pouring through my cookbooks. And I loved cookbooks.
Well, you grew up in a house.
Yes.
Your mom was a big cook,
my
right?
Mom's
now, are you
a
named Domenica
cook.
Because you were born on Sunday? Or
no, I'm named Domenica after my grandfather, whose name was Domenico, my paternal grandfather. And yes, my mother was actually born and raised in the Abruzzo region of Italy. And she came over to the States in the 1950s. But, you know, when I was growing up, I mean, I ate her wonderful Italian food. And she is still a wonderfully creative cook in the kitchen. She's always trying new dishes, so she's my biggest source of inspiration, of course.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the cookbook, because first of all, it's just so beautiful. It's filled with magnificent photography.
Yeah, the photographer is a wonderful woman named France Rufinach. She's an award-winning photographer, and she just made these pictures very portrait-like, and she did a beautiful job of capturing the tenor of the book. I love it, yeah.
Well, but pasta. I mean, it's no secret. There are a lot of pasta cookbooks out there. What made you decide to do one on pasta?
That's actually a great question. And it was not my idea at first. It was actually my publisher, Chronicle Books, idea. They came to me with the possibility of doing a book on pasta. And I thought, well, okay, it's been done so many times before. What can there possibly be more to say? Mm-hmm. But as I started researching it, I just realize there is a huge world out there, and cuisine is always evolving. It's always changing. So if you go to Italy now, yes, you see many traditional, wonderful traditional dishes, and you see that that there are young cooks who are trying to keep these traditions alive, but they're also imbuing the food with their own new young vision. Mm-hmm. And if you're working with pasta, really the sky is the limit, because not only do you have all the wonderful boxed shapes to play around with, you also have wonderful handmade and hand-turned shapes that vary from region to region and from cook to cook, really. Mm-hmm. So you can go on forever. I mean, I just was so thrilled once I started researching it to see what still had yet to be said.
Well, I want to talk about the research. What kind of, did you just get to go to Italy for a couple of weeks?
Pretty much. There's a lot involved. The book has recipes that I came across while I was traveling in Italy. Some of the recipes actually date back to my childhood or from my mother's time, and I just kind of rejiggered them for modern tastes. There's mm-hmm. a wonderful recipe that I know, Nikki, you're familiar with because you had it, which is a seafood pasta from the coast of Abruzzo. It's
incredible.
Yes, it's spaghetti al farouk. It's named for the deposed king of Egypt who fled to Italy in the 1950s. But it's got curry powder and ginger and saffron and shellfish. And it's just delicious and creamy and like nothing you've ever seen before in Italy. And yet it came from this small restaurant on the beach near Pescara on mm-hmm. the Abruzzo coast. And I knew I wanted to have that recipe in there. There are other recipes that I came across just by happenstance, traveling in Italy and meeting people who love food and who love to cook and who mm-hmm. shared their recipes
with me.
You're going
to have to develop one called Spaghetti al Mubarak now.
Yeah.
All right, I got a question for you. I'm going to jump ship on our list of questions here, because last time we were there, and as I love to tell everyone, I lived in Italy for 2 years, but I had never seen peachy before, and suddenly peachy was everywhere. Are they still inventing new shapes and thicknesses and all of that and mixes of pasta?
I think cooks do get inventive in the kitchen. I spent some time in the kitchen of one of my favorite restaurants. It's called Plistia. It's in the National Park of Abruzzo, which is just a gorgeous, rugged area of that region. And it's a very small restaurant run by a husband and wife team, and the wife does the cooking. And I came across noodles I'd never seen before. She does a shape called codette, which means little tails, and they're spinach, and they're about the size of a very skinny, like haricot vert or string bean. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the first time I had them, when they brought the platter out to the table, I thought they were bringing us steamed green beans. But there's this lovely, it was this lovely spinach pasta dressed very simply with local sausage and peas and a little tiny bit of tomato, hardly any. But just a lovely shape that I had not encountered before. She also does other shapes. She does these wonderful fat ribbons that are maybe about half the length of a regular pappardelle pasta, mm-hmm. and she calls them trenzelle. And so she shared those recipes with me, and I've put those in the book. I think once you develop the ability to make a good basic egg dough, you really can play around with shapes.
Well, I kind of wanted to talk about that. I think people overall, I mean, it's easy to buy a box of pasta. No choice
right.
about it.
Even I can do that.
right.
Yeah, but that's as far as we let you go.
I got to remember the money.
But I think people are a little nervous about making their
own
pasta.
They are intimidated. I think they are still intimidated. It's... I actually use a food processor to mix the dough, and I know that's probably heresy to some people, but it actually makes quick work. I can make a pound of basic egg pasta dough, and I think the key to making homemade pasta is just to relax about it. Once you get the, whether you make it the old-fashioned way with the mound of flour on the on your table mm-hmm. and mixing the eggs in, or if you do it with a food processor or a mixer, just kind of getting the feel for the dough and playing around with it. The more it's like anything, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And I think we're kind of in a DIY moment where people like to experiment in the kitchen. And so I've got the basic egg dough. I've got a whole wheat dough. There's a pumpkin pasta dough that
we saw that.
Yeah.
And that was interesting.
A lovely golden color when you cook it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think you need to let your imagination go. It's just a wonderful kitchen project.
OK, we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about this. Incredible.
We do.
We're going to talk about this incredible dish that you brought with you and where people can find your book and if you're doing book signings in the area. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to dig into pasta. We're going to be having some lobster and we're going to be drinking some wine.
And you won't be hearing from me much.
We'll be back in just a second. Stop speaking.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Is texting getting way out of hand? You know, I can't. Oh, please. Oh, that is funny. Where was I? Oh, yes, about texting. Pardon me. LOL, you are my BFF. So, like I was saying.
Switch to Geico now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
What if learning a new language was as easy as watching your favorite TV show or playing your favorite video game? What if, while you were having your morning coffee, you could learn how to speak or read a new language? Well, now you can. Introducing an all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the all-new Rosetta Stone software is now easier than ever before. You can learn your new language on your computer, then practice in your car or on your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing a single word. It's never been easier to learn a new language. And to celebrate, Rosetta Stone is giving away free demo CD-ROMs of their all-new language immersion technology. To get yours absolutely free, call now, 1-800-900-2599. Immerse yourself in your new language. Call now and receive your free demo CD-ROM of the all-new Rosetta Stone software. 1-800-900-2599. For your free demo, call 1-800-900-2599.
Okay, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We are stuffing our faces.
We are stuffing our faces.
Domenica Marchetti's pasta that she brought
in. What did you bring
in?
Tell us what you brought in.
Okay, this is from the chapter called Pasta on the Run, because as much as I like to make homemade pasta, I really don't have a lot of time to do it during the week, so mm-hmm. I use a lot of boxed pasta. And
heresy.
No, it's
not. Actually, boxed pasta is wonderful. It's completely different than fresh, but it's just as good. And mm-hmm. with all the farmers markets around, you can really make a delicious seasonal sauce in the time it takes to boil the pot of water, which is what I did here. I have BLT bucatini. Mm-hmm. The bucatini are the fat noodles with a hole in them, and they're fat and squiggly, and they're hard to roll on your fork, but kids love them.
Why the hole?
That's for even cooking.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah, and it captures sauce?
Yeah. But mainly the hole is there so that the noodle will cook in a, you know, pretty quickly, and it will cook all the way through.
It's delicious.
And so BLT bucatini is kind of an Italian spin on the BLT, and I've got pancetta, which I, you know, crisp pancetta.
Mm-hmm.
arugula instead of lettuce, and then some slow roasted cherry tomatoes, which is really easy to do. It's just kind of
throw them in the oven.
Yeah, throw them in the oven and let them roast at a slow temperature. Mm. And then a little bit of pecorino cheese on top. It's a really great dish for summer. It's very easy to make. It's kid friendly. And of course, you know, with the pancetta, AKA bacon, it's
right.
dad friendly.
Right.
So it's
everybody
nice
friendly.
Father's Day pasta.
Before we wrap up with you, I want to talk about one other dish that I had of yours that I've read about. I mean, you have great essays in the book, you know, just personal stories and how you came across the recipes. But the Miller's pasta.
The Miller's wife's pasta.
Can you just,
pasta.
Like, explain that pasta?
Well, that's macaroni, right?
Yeah. Macaroni alla molinara. Right. And this is from...
Domus.
From a very small... this one valley in the Teramo province of Abruzzo.
Mm-hmm.
And this pasta dates back to the 13th century. And as many times as I had been to Abruzzo, I had never even heard of it until a couple of years ago when I was traveling in this particular valley.
Mm-hmm.
And this valley used to be dotted with flour mills. So this noodle is basically flour and eggs and a good bit of water, which makes for very tender dough. And you pull it and stretch the dough until you've got a big loop. And then you roll the loop out until it's about, if you were to measure it end to end, it would be 10 feet or longer. So you've got one giant coil, and it takes a little bit of time to roll it out, but it's not that difficult, actually, because it's a very supple dough. And you coil that big loop, and you dump it in boiling water, and you let it cook for about 20 minutes. The mm-hmm. fat noodles, it takes a little time
they
to
cook.
They are
fat. They're so doughy.
They're fat,
they're delicious.
And they're like gnocchi almost. They're
like
chewy,
gnocchi.
And they're doughy.
Mm-hmm.
But they're tender at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sauced with a very basic Abruzzese meat sauce, and with a little, you know, flavored with pork and lamb and beef. And so I had never encountered this noodle before, and I could not believe it when they were telling me about it. So a friend of mine brought me to this restaurant where they specialize in it, and the chef was kind enough to give me and my daughter actually an impromptu lesson. So we learned how to roll this noodle out right in this little restaurant in the hills of Abruzzo. It was really a wonderful moment.
Well, it's delicious, and I just wanted to point it out because people need to check out that recipe. Tell everybody where they can find your book, please.
The book you can find, the easiest place, of course, is Amazon. Hill's Kitchen on Capitol Hill.
Oh, great
sells
little place.
It, and mm-hmm. I just recently did a signing there. If you're in Virginia, La Cuisine in Old Town.
Great.
People have spotted it at Borders and Barnes & Noble, and if you don't see it there, ask for it because they can get it for you.
And give us your website, please.
It's www.domenicacooks.com,
great.
And I blog about pasta and many other things.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
So great to be here. Thanks
really
for having me.
Leland, I'm going to ask you to sit down, please, but we're going to get back to our wine. Dean?
Domenica, come back every week.
Please. Come with treats. Dean, I see you've poured some red wine.
Yes.
What are you pouring?
We've got a Barbera. This is our inexpensive one. We've got the Barbera from Terra Dalaramo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Piemontese Barbera, meaning it's not from Alba, which is the traditional, most common place you see Barbera. This is from higher up in the hills, so the wine's a little more rustic. But the big thing about it is it's just not famous. And so rather than being a $20 Barbera, this is a $10 Barbera.
Oh, okay. All
so
right.
So I made some burgers.
I saw them.
We do Italian twist on a lot of stuff. And so why don't you grab the burger? Because you have to have food.
Absolutely. Well, I don't think we're short on food here this morning.
No.
All right. Thank you. The burgers are underneath.
Yeah, the burger
I think
is
they're
this
here.
One here.
You made burgers?
Yeah
we do a burger on our menu.
Ooh, yeah. This is my favorite.
I'm off
show.
Mic. I don't know what I should.
Yeah. There we go. We got the burgers. We're
anybody
good.
Anybody who knows me knows I don't stand still.
Okay. All right, Leland, we are going to get into you.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
You got
it. Isn't that gorgeous? All right, you're eating burgers. I think David's diet is over.
Anchovy sriracha, aioli on that.
Gorgeous.
It's a local farm burger, aged in fresh meat.
Right.
Made from Maryland.
I think this is DC surf and turf right
here. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
We got the lobster roll. And
this is what we
the
call
burger.
An Italian Michael.
And pasta. Oh my God, we are so set.
All right, so last time you were here, your trucks weren't rolling yet.
We didn't even have a truck yet.
And
no.
Now you've got two out there.
Now we have
and
you're two and a half.
Butt and taking
two and, a half.
Two and a half.
What does that mean, two and a half?
We have our third truck, and we're going to be putting that into
just
construction.
Just two wheels so far?
Two wheels, yep. Two wheels, a steering wheel.
Well, how long does it take to put together a truck?
Pretty long time, about
does it?
3 to 4 months to build out.
Hey, you two
so
just
a lot
talk.
Of planning.
I'm going to bite into this. I don't even know how to do it.
Is it just because you have all these special specifications? Like, what goes into a lobster truck?
Right. It's a lot of space planning. Mm-hmm. When you only have 18 feet to work in, you have to really plan out your space.
Right.
We've had some evolutions that occurred between truck number one and truck number two.
Like?
Some of which worked, some of which haven't.
Right, you have to figure it out. That makes sense.
Right. So now we're trying to, a little bit of redesign for truck number three. We also have a slightly different concept for truck number three. We may be doing just like a corporate catering drop-off, so you can get online, get on our website. Mm-hmm. Say at 11:15, I want 50 rolls dropped off. We'll pull up, make them, go to the next one.
Okay, 11:15, I want 50 rolls.
Well, so when you guys started about a year ago, the truck scene here was really just beginning to explode.
It sure was.
And now the landscape has changed. How has that affected you guys? Or is it the more the merrier? I mean, what's your thought on it?
I think it's been great. What's really unique about the DC food truck scene is that we're all in partnership. There's a lot of cooperation between the trucks.
That's great.
It has a really good family feel to it. So it's a lot of fun. We're always kind of teaming up and thinking about ways to...
That's interesting, because they all say that you're the guy that lets the air out of their tire.
No.
Man, this thing is
No, but I do notice that you guys work together a lot. But has your audience changed? Because when you guys launched, man, I mean, there were like 40 minutes waits.
Yeah.
Is it the same? Nothing's changed?
What I love about, you know, our line, and I see it in a lot of the food truck lines, is it's, you know, kind of a social equalizer. We have people from all different rungs in, you know, D.C. life waiting in line together. And when they're out there, they're talking, they're having a good time. And so it's just this great social positive phenomenon.
Well, here's my question, because when you guys got started, the only other place that I know of that had a lobster roll of real merit was Hank's. And now you got Freddy's, and you got two Hank's locations. And so is the marketplace getting saturated, and is that a problem?
I don't think so. Because
can you ever have too much lobster? I mean, seriously,
you guys keep talking.
I think what's great is, you know, all of the rolls are a little bit different. So I think that one, people are always going to have a favorite, and they're going to go patronize that establishment, which is, you know, fantastic.
Right.
But to me, all it's done is it's brought it to the forefront. It's brought it to public attention.
So let's talk a little bit about the lobster roll. I mean, what is it to you that makes yours, like, what is it that you do to yours that you feel like makes it unique?
A big truck.
A big truck.
No, we kept it really classic and really simple. And I think people appreciate that. We are, you know, constantly in pursuit of great suppliers.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Does everybody, you know, touts that their lobster is from Maine, but is everybody getting it from the same place?
There are a couple of really good suppliers up in Maine. And we, you know, I'm not sure where everybody gets their lobster from, but we source from a couple of suppliers up there.
Here's the question. With Red Lobster and all these places, like, aren't we devouring every lobster on the planet?
Well,
talking about Sammy's before. I mean, lobster's everywhere.
Yeah, so, a lot of lobster out there. But
are they just having a lot of sex and making a lot of lobster,
I think
babies?
So. It's pretty fun to be a lobster. unless you're in the pot.
Right, exactly.
But
that's where the fun ends.
You know, what's great is, like, Maine has such a strong sustainability program.
Right.
And they're basically guaranteeing that we can keep that lobster going, you know, and with such demand out there. Last year, there was actually a closure on the water south of Maine because they don't practice the same sustainability methods.
The practices.
And so, you know, Maine is really an advocate for when they don't have it, they'll shut down for a little while. And, you know, it's a product of nature, and so we have to expect that.
Talk about the rest of your menu, because you've got a simple menu and a limited menu, but it's unbelievable. You got whoopie pies.
Whoopie pies.
Well, what makes the whoopie pies Maine? From Maine.
Well,
are those special?
There's some debate out there as to whether it was a Pennsylvania tradition or a Maine tradition. I think it was probably a simultaneous pop-up. You know, it's a classic recipe formulation that we work with. Whoopsies is a local bakery here based out of Chantilly. And, you know, Berkeley's mother is up in Maine. She has a bakery up there. And it's just a strong, you know, Maine tradition that they grew up eating, and they kept it to what the tradition is, which I think is really important, and that fits with her lobster roll. Just very simple.
Right, you just grab it, ingredients. Hold it.
Right.
Do you do shrimp rolls too, or they're
wild Maine shrimp rolls? We sure do.
And so is that a similar recipe to the lobster roll?
It is.
Roll? I mean, is it similar?
Yeah, it's very similar. The mayo that we use has a little roasted garlic and tarragon in it, so slightly different flavoring, but essentially the same sandwich.
But I would assume the biggest sell is the lobster roll.
The Maine lobster roll.
Right. Now, you guys are doing catering now?
We're doing catering, so we can either pull our truck right up to your house or to your event venue, or we can
tell everybody where you just pulled your truck up.
Which one?
The Hilton dude.
Oh, the president of Hilton. Yeah, it had rippled through, and he heard about us and had to have us. So we pulled up, drove over to the Chesapeake, mm-hmm. and served lobster rolls to him and a bunch of his execs and folks.
You know, we have a house on the water, too. We open up the hydrant out front and invite people over.
So, but they really enjoyed it. And again, it's just something that everybody can identify with, as long as you're not allergic to shellfish.
Of course. Well, so, but when you cater an event.
Just bring your EpiPen and you.
Right, right.
When you cater an event, you're just there in the truck and you're just making them? Because they have to be fresh, right?
Right,
I mean, you made them right now in studio because you just. You cannot make them ahead of time?
Right. The best is to consume them immediately.
Okay.
The trick, you know, and a lot of the quality
is in a
nice, warm, steamy bun uh-huh. with a cold lobster salad inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best if you just get it, eat it immediately. It's not something...
And is that classic, the hot bun?
It is. It is. And we use a traditional top split New England bun. We actually drive, you know, up to Maine to buy them because you can't buy our buns down here.
Oh, really?
Yep. And there are a couple bakeries that try and produce it, but... Mm-hmm. They try to get a little too fancy.
Do people
you know?
Compliment you on your nice buns?
Yes.
I have to say,
David's having a good time this morning.
There's so many puns with buns.
I know.
But I mean, this is, you know, fortunately, my role on the show is to be the pain in the butt.
And he doesn't have to work hard to make that happen.
If this wasn't good, I would tell you. This is awesome.
Right. He polished it off.
And there's a ton of lobster in here.
Right.
Between the bucatini and this, I think my
Well, I think that's a lot of people's... I don't want to say complaint, but I think at some other establishments, one of the remarks you hear is that they don't feel like there's enough lobster. They're like, I would pay more if there was more lobster in there. And did you guys have like a sort of amount in mind when you were putting together the initial one?
It wasn't so much an amount. It was a look.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny when I train people on the tracks to do the production, mm-hmm. I always, you know, liken the appearance to a nice big stuffed baked potato. You want that kind of overflowing look. And I think that's also just a value delivery. You know, mm-hmm. I want people to look at the sandwich and say, I know what I paid for, you know.
Right.
And
that it's worth it.
Right. And we really, you know, again, it comes back to the ingredient sourcing. And we use big chunks of lobster.
Mm-hmm.
We like you to see big knuckles, big claws, and just feel like as soon as you get the sandwich, wow. You know, it's that wow factor.
That's what I said. That's why I inhaled it. Wow.
Okay. All right, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to tell people how they can find you and your trucks. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be digging into mussels and beer and a little more wine when we get back.
You can help the Army Historical Foundation honor the soldiers of yesterday and today. Go to armyhistory.org to learn how you can help build the National Museum of the U.S. Army. The museum will be the Army's national landmark, preserving the sacrifice of every man and woman who has worn the Army uniform since 1775. Visit armyhistory.org today and honor the Army service of every generation.
In case you didn't know, the Bethesda Central Farm Market is now open, and it's big. With around 40 vendors, folks have a ton to choose from, like local and organic produce, a huge selection of natural meats and poultry, eggs, cheeses, cured meats, take-home foods, and more. Plus, they've got a huge selection of bakery and organic breads, fresh ground coffee, and more, all from top-quality family farmers, orchard growers, and artisan food producers. And since I'm the Beast, you know I'm cheap, and I want to say that aside from the really big draw of great prices and great selection is the fact that there's free parking on Sundays when the farmer's market is open, and I love free parking. That's Bethesda Central Farm Market. It's open Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Elm Street in downtown Bethesda. Visit BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com for more info and to sign up for their weekly e-blast with lots of info about special arrivals and more. Bethesda Central Farm Market. If you're not living on the farm, it's the next best thing.
Welcome to today's lottery drawing. And today's winning numbers are not yours, not yours, and another number that's not yours. And the final number is not yours.
When it comes to having money, don't rely on luck. Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We are talking lobster. We've got Leland Morrison here from the Red Hook Lobster Pound truck. Did I say it right?
The lobster truck. I think that's what most people know. It is Red Hook Lobster Pound, but
I don't know what to call it. Mm-hmm. So, talk about the Maine soda.
Yeah, Maine root soda. Really small bottle works out of Maine.
What kind of root is it?
Root beer?
Is it root beer?
No, we have all different flavors now. I think they really got their start with root beer, but you know, they're doing a great cream soda, orange cream. We just got their Wild Maine blueberry soda on one of our trucks, which is dynamite.
Fun.
So it's just a great, you know, all natural. They use organic fair trade cane sugar. These guys, you know, like us, they're committed to really sourcing quality ingredients. It's simple stuff, and people get it. So I think that's why it works.
The most important thing for people listening is how do they figure out where you're... You've got two trucks, so you're moving targets.
Right. So is there a truck... Like, you only have one Twitter account, right?
One Twitter account, which we may change, but for right now, it's Lobster Truck DC.
Right. And that's how people find you.
It is.
Okay.
So we send an update every evening with where we're projecting to be the next morning.
Okay.
Of course, we have to find a legal parking spot, and as everybody knows, that can be tough.
How's the parking? Is that tough?
It can be tough. But what's great is a lot of our followers will go out and they'll get into a parking spot and hold it for us. So as soon as they pull up, And you
know, do they get a free lobster roll?
they get a free shrimp roll or a discounted lobster roll.
I love that.
And what I love most of all is when we pull up and we have a DC police officer holding a spot for us, and that's just awesome. To me a wonderful thing, because they know that we're out there doing it by the book,
right?
And so they have an appreciation for us being out there. We always, like, for instance, leave the street cleaner than when we found it. Really trying to be in partnership with the neighborhoods that we go into.
And lobster rolls are healthier than donuts.
No, I think that's great. Because I know that for some trucks it is, you know, getting into that routine and finding the spaces.
Right.
You know, you have such a small window. I mean, it's
sure
just lunchtime.
Yeah.
So
I'm not above paying for a spot.
I mean, you know, you only got so much time to make your money.
Right. You got it.
So I hear you.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic.
All right. So Leland Morris is with Red Hook Lobster Truck. And
give the Twitter.
Yeah. Number one way to find us, Twitter, Lobster Truck DC.
Okay.
Facebook, Red Hook Lobster Pound DC. Okay. Website, redhooklobsterdc.com.
Well, thanks for coming in and cooking everything up.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So
the man is rolling in lobster.
Okay.
Thanks. So, Gustavo, let's come back to you.
Okay.
And talk, you brought another bottle of wine, and it's beautiful. What are, the labels are gorgeous.
Yes. Actually, this one is like a Pedro Almodóvar movie poster,
yeah,
you know?
It's beautiful.
This wine comes from Almansa. Almansa is a little region very close to La Mancha. I'm from La Mancha.
Like the man from La Mancha.
I am the man of La Mancha.
You are?
From La Mancha, yeah.
And I am Don Quixote, trust me, if you've ever been in business with me.
This wine is 100% Garnacha Tintorera, a.k.a. Alicante. Probably most know like Alicante here in the States. And 2009, and it's a very fresh red wine. You can drink easily. Every seed you take invites you to take another one.
And this is also, is this an inexpensive wine?
Yes, $9.99.
$9.99. Okay, great. So we can spill out the other one if you want to pour it in there. Does that work better? Excellent.
You can do that.
And then while we're waiting for Chef to join us, Dean, before you pour that wine, tell us about the second wine you brought in.
Second wine is Brunello di Montalcino.
Wow.
And this is from a tiny little winery, a very good friend of mine, Marcello Bucci, who owns Colimatoni. It's been in his family's for three generations, and they started making wines in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1983, at the age of 13, he became the winemaker of this winery. And I love going to this winery, although it costs me brain cells every time, because we taste everything he has. He has 40 Botte. These are the large containers of wine. We taste 40 botte, and I keep track because the one time we were tasting and we were on the 48th botte, I'm saying, Marcello, you only have 40. Why are we tasting 48? And he said, well.
And he said, you're supposed to spit, not swallow.
There's no spitting. There's no spitting with Marcello. He goes, this is 3 hours later. The wines are different. So he's a fanatic like I am. Wonderful Brunello. Tribicchieri from the Italian wine guide, which is the highest classification. He's the first new Brunello producer to get Tribicchieri in over 10 years. So we'll pour out the Barbera and taste the good stuff.
I will drink my Bicchieri in a moment.
We've got some wild boar salami over there to go with this.
I tried it already. I just stuck a finger in there, too.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe how much food
I've said it before. I'll say it again. You want to have fun? Get your own food show, yo.
Oh, my God.
This is unbelievable.
There is so much food here.
All right. So now we're going to switch sort of. Kind of, yeah. Claudio Pirollo is the chef owner of E Voila,
mm-hmm.
Down on MacArthur Boulevard, and he is a return guest. So.
Yes, chefs, have a seat, please. And
pony up to the microphone. Let's start with your background, because it's been a while since you've been on the show, and let's remind people how you got here.
But I got here like 11 years ago. I'm coming from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents, they are from Italy.
That is mm-hmm. why you're Claudio
Pirollo.
Pirollo, right?
Yes. And I start in Washington, D.C., working for the Irish ambassador as a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like, you know.
You're like a living European Union.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. And then I just, you know, because I grew up and raised in Belgium, I said I need to bring more Belgian food in Washington, D.C.
Well, let me ask you something, just perfect segue. Mussels and great beer are considered to be sort of the quintessential Belgian snack meal, if you would. How did that happen?
Except
I mean, why? Are there
the
just
fries.
Lots of mussels in Belgium?
Yeah, because we have, you know, from the North Sea in Belgium, and we have a lot of mussels, and we are very, for mussels, we are very famous... about the mussels. In Belgium, we eat only mussels with the month ending by B-R-E,
mm-hmm.
like November, December.
Why is that?
The season is more high. They are more fatty inside, you know. The harvest of the mussels is where it's the best. Yeah.
Well, Jean-Claude Van Damme is from Belgium, and he's got mussels, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that's enough. It's enough, right?
Thank you.
I'm done.
But that just hit me. I didn't. That wasn't prepared. You got
I'm
that?
I'm thrilled. Yeah. Well, let's talk about mussels and making them, because I think some people are intimidated to... I was lucky enough to do one of your cooking classes, so I, of course, am not intimidated. But I do think some people are intimidated of making shellfish at home because they can be gritty or sandy. I mean, what is some advice you can give people to make some really great mussels?
I think if you buy the right mussels... mm-hmm. You don't have problem. You always need to see that all the mussels, they are closed.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not closed, you just tap a little bit. If they close back, that means they are alive,
mm-hmm.
you know. For the sand inside, when I used to work in Belgium, because they have more sand than here,
mm-hmm.
We used to pour in a big bath with water and flour.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a reaction that the sand is coming out. And
because they like spit out the flour?
Exactly,
is that it?
Yeah. And then, you know, you need also to see if the trimming of the mussels and clean everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you have a good mussels, I don't see any problem. Here in Washington, we use a lot of the mussels from Blue Bay,
mm-hmm.
from Canada. And right now we're going to use the one from Pencove, from the West Coast, or from Washington State.
Because of the seasonality
of
it?
Of the season, yeah.
Do they scream when you boil them?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh my God!
Late
at night.
Right. How many like bushels of mussels do you guys go through at your restaurant a week?
You mean different kind of mussel?
No, I mean just like how many orders of mussels? Quantity.
We go through almost now for a small restaurant like us almost 400 pounds a week.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot, yeah.
It is. That's a tremendous
yeah,
amount.
Yeah, for a small restaurant.
Now,
yeah.
You guys just did a Belgian beer festival.
Correct.
Tonight's the last night.
Correct.
What are you doing? I mean, tell us about it.
We come up with this idea to do the Belgium festival,
mm-hmm.
beer festival, because we reached the quantity of beer that we want to get from Belgium.
Okay.
And
what was that?
I mean, we have like now 30 different Belgian beer.
Okay.
I know that some restaurant has more, but we are small. We have a small bar, and we
mm-hmm.
try to change our, you know, selection every 6 months, the time that, you know, our customer can.
What is it about Belgium?
First
of all, Budweiser is now a Belgian beer, but
yeah. It is.
But you know, compare this to some of the American craft beers that are out there now. Are these, to your mind, superior? And if so, why? Is it the water? Is it the hops? Is it, you know, what's the?
I think yeah, they are superior because they but you know they start to make beer in the 30s in Belgium,
mm-hmm.
you know, by the monk. And I will not say because of the water, because they start to make beer because the water was so bad that they, you know, they start to
maybe
make
that's
beer.
What makes the beer good.
Yeah. But I think, you know, that in U.S. now you can find, I mean, you have some good brewer. But you can see that we have the Trappist Orval, that is a brown beer. It's very, very good. There is some beer, they have a second fermentation, even three fermentation. Some of them in the, you know, in the bottle. You have some beer with fruit, like the Castel Rouge. That's right. A little bit cherry, you know.
I feel like Vanna White.
Yeah.
You look like her, too.
And then you have the,
you
know.
Does that
turn you on at all?
No, not at all.
The Starfendrix, that is like three fermentation. And then the O'Garden, the white O'Garden, that is a little bit, you know, citrus, orange.
Right.
Very
we
light.
Heard it was pronounced Hogarten.
Hogarten.
Yeah, there's no.
Because they came on, right? Okay. They came on our show.
They were on the show.
We had them on. It was very, very cool.
And then we do some, you know, some stuff with the beer.
What's that?
That's the ice cream that we made with Hogarten.
So what else?
Wait a second. That's a beer ice cream?
Beer ice cream, yes.
Wow.
Gee, you probably want me to try it.
Yeah.
Let's just see.
Now, did you taste that somewhere first, or were you just playing in the kitchen?
No. I tried this one in Belgium before, And then I call a friend of mine that is in Belgium, is a restaurateur also, and he give me the, you know, the right balance.
The
because sometimes we need to adapt all the receipt we have from Europe. We need to adapt also, you know, from what we have there to here.
Mm-hmm.
But we come up with this, and of course we have an Italian machine to do the ice cream.
You know, anybody watching the TV show might wonder how I managed to stay so slim
after eating all that food.
But we have a liposuction machine in the trunk, and I just...
That's also Italian.
Yeah, that's right. It's an Italian liposuction.
Well, tell us a little bit. You brought in so much food. Tell us a little bit about the dishes you brought in today.
The mussels here is cooked with, Hogarten also, because it's very light beer. You know, we did a couple of mussels also with
don't
brown
you think
beer.
We should try the mussels?
I do think we should try the mussels.
And there is some goat cheese inside, that give the creamy taste.
Oh, yeah, that's what it needs. It needs some goat cheese. That's exactly what mussels need. They need some goat cheese. Are you going to pass
and
on
then,
over?
No, I'm not.
Here we have the beef stew called Carbonade à la Flamande that we do in Belgium.
Which is your classic stew, yes?
Exactly, yeah. That is made with a flat iron, and we do that with... We simmer it with the Orval, that is a brown beer, and then we let it cook for like 2 hours and a half, you know, and we just reduce the sauce. We don't put any, not too much veal stock on it. And
it's
we
gorgeous.
Put also some Cassona, that is a brown sugar, also from Belgium. And then we just come up with this idea of the mussels burger.
That's a mussel burger?
Yes.
Oh, we're going to have
I really should take a bite of that.
Yeah, that's
too.
Made.
All right, we have to take a quick break. But
when
we come back, we'll get the 411 on the mussel burger. We have lobster rolls, mussel burgers, hamburgers. It's quite a show today. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie of the Bees. When we come back, you'll hear David eat more.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
In the beloved fairy tale Beauty and the Beast, Belle and the Beast learn that true beauty is found within and live happily ever after. Today, our happily ever afters are being threatened by the fact that nearly 1 in 3 children in America are overweight or obese. Now is the time to make good nutrition and physical activity part of your family's daily lifestyle. To learn more, visit letsmove.gov, brought to you by Let's Move, the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ad Council.
What if learning a new language was as easy as watching your favorite TV show or playing your favorite video game? What if, while you were having your morning coffee, you could learn how to speak or read a new language? Well, now you can. Introducing an all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the all-new Rosetta Stone software is now easier than ever before. You can learn your new language on your computer, then practice in your car or on your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing a single word. It's never been easier to learn a new language. And to celebrate, Rosetta Stone is giving away free demo CD-ROMs of their all-new language immersion technology. To get yours absolutely free, call now, 1-800-900-2599. Immerse yourself in your new language. Call now and receive your free demo CD-ROM of the all-new Rosetta Stone software. 1-800-900-2599. For your free demo, call 1-800-900-2599.
Okay, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast. We are chowing down here, but before we get back to the show, I just want to quickly thank the folks that make the show possible. Our good friends at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's Planet Wine, Birch and Barley, Rustico, Vermilion, all their restaurants out there. The people at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers down in the Georgetown Harbor. Dish plus drinks, Notte Bianchi and Circle Bistro. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, and our newest sponsor, Bethesda Central Farm Market. Guys, thanks for supporting the show.
Absolutely. Okay, so
back to Claudio Pirollo.
Et voila. So, the beer festival that you're doing tonight, what's going to happen there tonight?
Tonight we still have we're going to do a flight beer that we're going to give three different beer for tasting for $15. You can start with the Straff Hendrix, we have the Castel Rouge, and we have also tonight the Chimay White.
Here. Yes.
So you're gonna have a flight of the three beer. We have some dish that we cook with the ingredient like the cheese here, the Chimay cheese that we do a gratin of potato served with a beef.
Should we hold that up for the camera?
Of course, yes.
It's a beautiful
that's
wheel.
That's a cheese that is a cow milk. And they dip the cheese in the actually in the Chimay.
the rind has the beer on it. Neat.
And then tonight for Father's Day, we are gonna give also a beer, a Bavik beer, as a complimentary for all the father. And we have also another beer that we want to sample tonight is the Duvel that is very famous also. And we did a tasting dinner on Tuesday that was a success also, that we paired the beer with the food, and that was a very success.
Well, I would imagine that more, because beer is becoming so prevalent in restaurants and with the Belgian beers and the craft beers, I would assume a lot of people want to pair, would like to learn more about pairing the different beers that you have with the cuisine you're serving.
Yes?
I mean, are people asking more?
I mean, yeah, they're asking more because, you know, I think it's a... It's not like a new fashion to pair the beer and the food, but it's something new, you know, that, you know, come up and, you know, is a lot of, you know, you have a lot of different tastes in the beer that for a chef also, I mean, we drink the beer first and then we decide to do the dish with it. But
if you can still stand. I have the same problem at home.
Yeah, it's a very good way of doing
it. So let me, I want to give you an opportunity because the beer festival is still going on. So make sure everybody knows where the restaurant is. And I assume you still have a couple of reservations open?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God, your place is always packed, though. So I just want to say.
I shall now bite the muscle burger again.
And can you just, before you give your 411, you brought in...
Yeah, crepes. I brought in some crepe that we, you know, we do today also for Father's Day, for brunch. Crepe and Nutella is very famous. I mean, crepe in Belgium is very famous also.
They're beautiful.
And then we have here the Belgium also, the Belgium endive, that is our signature dish, made with Chimay cheese, actually. And we do... A balsamico dressing with it.
Yum.
I love this popular, show.
Just, could you please give everybody your address, please?
The address is 5120 MacArthur Boulevard and is located in the Palisade area.
Excellent.
It's well, et voila.
Et voila. Excellent, Chef. Thank
and
you so
are
much.
Are you on open table?
No, we're not.
No open table. So how to get a reservation, what number?
By phone at 202-237-2300.
Okay. Excellent. Chef,
thank you, Chef.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing in all this great food.
All right. So Dean and Gustavo, let me get back to both of you.
Well, wait. I want to find out what Dean poured because he just poured a wine. What'd you pour, Dean?
This was the Brunello from Marcello Bucci. They make about 600 cases
I love Brunello.
A year of this. Mm-hmm. And 2005 is a vintage that wasn't particularly spectacular, but in the zone where this vineyard is, it was. But he has 2006 to sell. So normally this would be 130 on our wine list. Right now we have it for 75.
Okay.
And I think it's one of the best buys on our list whatsoever.
And you guys have is it Mad Mondays?
Sundays and Mondays. 33% off, although we can't do that on this wine because we've already built the...
Oh, he's backpedaling.
75.
There's some backpedaling going on here.
One wine out of 300, dude. Yeah, give me a break. But it's the only wine you don't get 33% off on.
Okay.
But it's a very classic style Brunello, no new oak. No small barrel, no modern winemaking. It's just all traditional winemaking.
Okay.
Family-owned vineyard. The guy started as winemaker when he was 13 years old.
You said that before. That's amazing. I mean, that's just incredible.
Did his parents know?
Doing
this in his room?
Well, he was bugging his dad when he was 12 years old. And so his dad gave him a broom and said, sweep the winery. You're the assistant winemaker. So the first day, he swept the winery, rolled up all the hoses, cleaned the pump. And his dad looked at it the next day and said, wow, let me give you some more jobs to do.
Right.
And by the next year, he handed him the keys to the winery and said, you're the winemaker. I'm retired. I'll be out hunting wild boar.
See, if we'd said that to our kids, they would have done it right next to the pot plant.
Really?
Well, Gustavo, let's just talk about Taberna a little bit. Come up to the mic, please.
Okay. And I have a question for Gustavo.
Okay. Go ahead and interrupt me.
How do you, Dean talks about his trips back to Italy and tasting the wine. Like, how much time do you have to spend in Spain? I know you have distributors who will bring you product, but how much time do you have to spend back there traveling around just to make sure that you're not missing anything?
Well, right now, because the importers and the distributors is too easy, but I want to come back to Spain at least once a year and visit wineries and visit some friends with wine stores and in the wine industry to taste new things, and let's see if we can bring those wines to the States. So right now, I am very, very updated about the new wines in Spain.
Well, there's so many new wines coming out from Spain, and people are really getting educated on the wines from there, especially, with Jose Andre being here.
He makes
Spain so apparent,
big,
Yes, and so big, he does.
Yeah, actually, in our restaurant, at Taberna del Alabardero...
See, he says it much better than you.
Taberna del Alabardero, right?
I couldn't say it like that if I depended on it.
But... we are doing right now wine seminars and teaching, showing our customers, our patrons, the excellence of the wines from Spain.
When are the wine seminars?
Used to be the last week of the month, not a prefix day, but for example, this month we have Albariño grape wine seminar. Albariño is a grape from the Rías Baixas, northwest of Spain. We will do the 28th at 6:30.
Excellent.
We are going to taste 4 Albariños from Galicia and 1 Albariño from Virginia.
Excellent.
Dean and Gustavo, thanks very much. And Claudio, thank you.
Well, we're going to wish the two of you best of luck next week at the Rammies.
We'll be there. I'm wearing my Chanel gown.
Are you wearing a mask? You're supposed to come in a mask.
I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a beard.
Big
surprise.
Nice. That's amazing.
Last year I had a tuxedo jacket and a Hawaiian shirt. This year it's just back to the Hawaiian shirt.
I love it. Awesome.
Aloha.
Okay.
Which is Yiddish for aloha.
Okay.
All right. So just so you know, if you listen to this show or watch it on TV, there's so much more to know and do. You can find it all on the list, areyouonit.com. It's free to subscribe. It lists hundreds of events and activities and restaurant specials and all that. And Nikki made me say that.
Yes, it really is true. You
can also follow Nikki on Twitter, and you can listen to her on WTOP every Sunday at 12:50.
Actually, I pre-recorded today because we got your Father's Day gift coming up.
I can't wait.
We're going whitewater rafting.
What is it? Do I get to not do the dishes?
Yeah, but I don't have to do the cooking.
Hot nam.
I am talking about some last-minute Father Day options if you want to hear those.
And be sure to watch the show. This show you'll be able to see next Friday night at 8:30 on NBC4's Washington Nonstop, the cable channel. And again on Saturday at noon because we're twice as good. So be sure to watch that. And
okay, so as we do on every show, we like to point out a specific charity. And this week, there's a fantastic event going on that a lot of chefs are participating in, women chefs specific, and I wanted to talk about
coming
it.
Up on Wednesday the 22nd, the title is Chefs Take a Stand Against Domestic Violence. But the area's top women chefs and mixologists are getting together at Sequoia down on the Georgetown Harbor at 6 o'clock. It's from 6 to 8. And the whole point is to raise public awareness of the troubling social illness of domestic violence. And there's none of that in our house because I'm afraid of Nikki. So maybe that is domestic violence in reverse.
Yeah,
I don't know. But you got chefs like Carla Hall and Jamie Leeds and Riz Lacoste, Shannon Overmiller, Kate Jensen, Tracy O'Grady. And Megan Coyle will be there, and it raises
money. Among many, many others. It raises money. I have a link on the list, areyouonit.com. If you go to local events and click on Wednesday, you will see the event there. Please sign up and absolutely go. It's a great, great event for a great cause. Also, as we do on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote, and David's going to give it to you.
And I grab something Italian. Federico Fellini, the great filmmaker from Italy, said, quote, "Life is a combination of magic and pasta."
Which is perfect.
I don't know what he meant, but I've watched every one of his films. I don't know what they meant either. So, all right, so we want to thank Domenica Marchetti, Leland Morris, Claudio Pirollo, Gustavo Iniesta, and Dean Gold for joining us. This is a great show. Andy, you were wonderful.
Yeah, Andy, you were wonderful. We'll be digging into more food, and next week we have a terrific show. Fancy Food Festival is going to be here, and so is R.J. Cooper.
R.J. Cooper.
We'll see you next week. Have a delicious one.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is Mr. Tom Lemus. It gives us great honor to introduce to you a nutritional expert by the name of Tom Lemus. You may have heard of him. He's written many books, has been on many shows, and has researched many nutritional ingredients. Such a remarkable, intelligent man. Mr. Lemus will introduce us to the exclusive BioVaxin.
Good afternoon, Cheryl. How are you?
Great. Thank you, and welcome to our show.
Good to be here with you, Cheryl, and hello.